Come kneel beside.
Quite a call, isn't it?
Kneel beside this child of God. Just so much, there's so much Christmas music, new and old. It's hard to sort through. We have a file system of paper music. And, you know, we have four Sundays in what's called the traditional Advent season. And to think of, we can't touch all the music that's there. There's just so much. And I love music. But I know the brain can only take in what the behind can absorb, right? You got to keep things moving. How many guys have to wrap Christmas presents? How many of you guys get to wrap Christmas presents at home? Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I do that too. Maybe. Maybe not. It's coming. There we go. Anyone who believes that Men of the Equal Women has never seen a man trying to wrap a Christmas present. And I got to tell you, back many years ago, my grandmother, my mom's mother, was alive and well. She was a very talented, artsy lady. And I don't know what age I was, but I was trying to wrap a Christmas present, probably for my brother or my parents or something. And my grandmother watched me briefly attempt to do it. And she said, "You need a little training, Ronnie." And we worked together. I can still remember some of the things she taught me to do on the ends and the corners and how long to cut it and fold it and the whole thing. It was, and that's not a criticism of my mom. Mom, you probably tried and gave up, but Grammy got it through my head a little bit. Here's the other one. Kids, don't do this at home. I don't recommend it. "Dear Santa, if you leave me a new bike under the tree, I will give you the antidote to the poison I put in the milk." Yeah, anyway.
And
motorcycle. Yeah, but I know there's at least one Michael in the room. Did you really do this? Yeah, anyway, Christmas. Christmas is an interesting time. And I've called this part of the program Christmas Hope. We talked about hope 2 weeks ago as well. It's a very powerful word in Scripture. And if you've been here before, you're kind of familiar with my spin on it, my take on it, my reading of Scripture, is that biblical hope is not wishful thinking, but it's based on solid things. The Bible, the most tested book of all kind. It's based on the integrity and accuracy of what we call the Bible. It's based on the proven integrity and faithfulness and love of our Creator, Father God, too. So, but this is the verse that's under that heading, Romans 15:13. And I think we all need hope for different reasons, where Paul would write, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope." How? "By the power of the Holy Spirit." May the God of hope, and that's who he is, fill you. He doesn't start out with filling you with hope. Instead, what is he filling you with? Joy and peace as you trust in him. And then as that works, then we overflow with hope. And that's beyond our regular reserves, how we're made, your personality, your circumstances. It's a God-given thing. When it says by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's something God does for us. It's something that he wants to do for us. It's something, I think, if I can use the word, God is excited about doing. God is excited about doing it. Now we get back to the Christmas thing. When hope was born, Galatians 4. And Paul's writing a much earlier letter to a little new church in the region of Galatia. And he wrote these words. There we go. "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Adoption to sonship. Born under the law, and the law pointed out a couple of things. Paul will go on, and not a little bit in this letter, but much more so in his letter to the church in Rome, we call Romans, to explain that the law shows us we're sinful. I can't keep the law perfectly, no matter how hard I try. And so I need help. I need something beyond me. And that brings us to Jesus Christ and his cross. The reason he came, the reason he died, was to give us eternal life. And that's the hope I cling to. That's the hope God offers to every one of us is eternal life through Christ, but also strength for today, strength for tomorrow, whatever you're dealing with, God is there walking with you through it. And the hope to me, the foundation to this hope I have is based on God's love. Hope does not put us to shame. In other words, we're not hoping and then lose out because it doesn't happen. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope doesn't put us to shame. It's going to come to fruition. Why? What's our seal? What's our guarantee? God's love that we can experience. God's love poured into our hearts. Something we can experience. I've got several things here that I just want to focus on briefly. There's five points here that I've been pondering over as I look at how God is working in my heart, in my family, in life, and then I'm praying for other people in the community, people I know, people I've got acquainted with through the fire and rescue service, just people in my neighborhood going through different things. And the first great truth of Scripture, it's a huge, powerful truth, and I think, therefore, it's Satan's greatest target to undermine, is that you are loved. You are loved. Regardless of what's going on in your life right now, regardless of circumstances, could be relationally, could be financial, you could have a medical crisis going on, and we feel like, well, if there is a God out there, he can't love me, he can't really love me, I wouldn't be going through all this stuff. Well, it's the human experience, by and large, to go through a lot of stuff. Some of it's of our own making, some of it isn't. Some of us just hits us like a wind out of the north and knocks us off our feet. That's not our fault. But God loves you no matter what, all the time, whether you're a sinner or saved. God's love is constant and unstoppable. Even if you say, I don't want God, I don't believe in God, he can't be there. He still loves you. As negative as you can be towards him, you can't stop his love. His love is unstoppable. But here's the deal. This is why he loves us so much. He wants us to experience something that only he can truly give us. And that is forgiveness. Forgiveness. We have wronged him. Whether we knew it or not, we have wronged him. And then as we, I call it, grow up in life experience, we realize we've wronged him. The Bible calls that sin. And we think, good grief, what am I going to do with this? We have a Savior. And you can experience forgiveness. And I've gone through my life as a Christian, experiencing forgiveness as a Christian coming back to the cross. I never had the experience as an adult coming to Jesus for the first time and having that experience, but I've talked to lots of people that have. And in both cases, it's extremely powerful and extremely real. You can know forgiveness. That's just not wishful thinking. That's experiential. You and I are offered eternal life. I notice I put the word offered. You're loved no matter what happens. No matter what you do with God, he will constantly love you. But eternal life, if you want it, is something that you have to receive, something you have to actually take from him, eternal life. It's not guaranteed to everybody. The Bible doesn't teach that. We sometimes like to think that way. Well, if God's loving, everybody gets saved. Well, that just doesn't make any sense when you think about the holiness and greatness of his love. If he says, I love you so much, and I know you can't get to heaven on your own, but I will make it happen. My son will come to earth. He'll die on a cross, taking all your sins on himself, so you can come to heaven. All you have to do is receive that gift that Jesus has already bought and paid for. You are offered eternal life, but the only way it's effective personally is to receive it, to receive the gift, take the gift. We're going to have Christmas in another week and a half at our house, and hopefully I'm going to get a gift or two, because I think my family still likes me. So I'll get a Christmas gift, but I don't know how they'd feel if they come up to me with the gift, say, here you go, Dad. I don't want that. I don't need that. Thanks for coming, but I don't want it. How would you feel? Phew, I can take it back and get my money. No, that's not how it works. But anyway, we want people to receive the gift. When we give them a gift, we want them to receive it. And usually, for most of us, we buy someone a gift, we put some time and effort and money into it, we hope it's special to them, we hope they'll enjoy it, we hope they'll value it. This is the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life given through Jesus Christ to you and to me. But we have to receive it personally. And then when we do receive Jesus as Savior, the gift of eternal life, that's when the peace experience starts. I think often we're looking for God's peace without God's Son. And we need God's Son to experience God's peace. If I want peace, I can only find it through Jesus. And a couple weeks ago, we had it as a slide when Jesus said, the Last Supper, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, my peace. It's something really different. It's internal, it's personal. It doesn't mean you won't experience pain. It doesn't mean you won't experience frustration or impatience. All those things are very natural in the human travel, the human journey. But we can experience God's peace not in the absence of a storm, but in the midst of a storm. And then this one, to me, is kind of my favorite. You can live your life in joyous hope. Joyous hope. The joy of Christmas just isn't a seasonal thing because of lights and gifts and all those good things, and they are very good, but it's experiencing Christ's joyous hope personally through a personal relationship with Him. Well, I don't know how many of you watch Charlie Brown every Christmas. We usually do, and they're a little confused at first. What's it all about? And Linus straightens them out, doesn't he? This is what it's all about. It's about Jesus coming to do what we couldn't do, make us right with God, and all we have to do is receive that gift. Amen? So we got a couple songs and two more songs to close up with, and we want to sing those for you now. Emmanuel means God with us. That's such a powerful phrase, to have God actually here with us. He's not absent. He's not far away. He's as close as saying yes, and then He's in your heart through Jesus' Son. Amen? So we're going to invite you to sing with us once we get going on this. The ladies are going to start out, and the guys. Many of you have heard this. We've done it before. So I think you're familiar enough to sing along with us. But we're going to start out as required. Yep. King, the desire of all nations is coming. The desire of all nations comes. Amen. Lord, these are just little tiny offerings from our heart. We love you so much. You are the life changer individually, but you're also the life changer globally. This world is struggling under basically the unloaded burden of sin. And yet they have. Every person that has a pulse has a chance to come and know you as Savior and Lord. Maybe there's someone here today, that's not clear. I'm not sure what that is. You can be sure before you leave the room. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I want to know. I want to know I have eternal life. I receive that gift from you. I want to know that all my sins are forgiven because of your work on the cross. You can know that just by silently inviting Jesus into your heart and life. And if you do that, tell somebody, because it's your second birthday. The Bible says you're born again, and that's pretty exciting. For those of us that know you, Lord, we just let your Spirit work that renewal of hope and peace in our hearts and lives, that in spite of the real life problems that we have to deal with, you are the God that is with us, Emmanuel, always with us. Never leave us or forsake us. We can find our strength from you poured out through your Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So let us encourage one another. And then, you know, tomorrow and the next day, we'll hear from people that are struggling. Steve was sharing a story this morning. People are struggling with stuff. We say, hey, you can find the help I found in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, before we dismiss, we're going to have potluck lunch out there, a good time of fellowship. You say, oh, I didn't know, I didn't bring anything. You know, we always have plenty. And if you're not sure there's going to be enough, just go to the dessert table first. That's what I do. I think it's a safe way to do it. We're going to wish you a Merry Christmas. Amen. Yeah, do the close. I thought you could play an intro.